Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. King Agrippa knew the Scriptures, and he even believed the prophets, yet he was still living in sin with Bernice. Knowing what Scripture says does not change a person's heart. Only God's grace can do that, and one can only be saved by entering into a personal relationship with Christ in which one submits to His Lordship and walks in His ways. Don't be like Agrippa. Forsake your own way and follow Jesus. Please open your Bible to Acts 26, verse 18, and listen as Dylan Ocher completes his discussion of this chapter.
What does that mean, meeting the person of Christ? Jesus looks at Paul, he gives him a commission, and in that, he tells him exactly what it means to be converted. Verse 18. Look at verse 18. I want to try to show you, now you've again, you might already know this, but run this journey with me. Let your heart run along this text if you've already been converted. Verse 18. Here is what Paul is going to do to the unconverted people. Here's what happens to every person who has moved from Paul's first statement to his second. Every person who has gone through conversion. This is what has happened. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. There's a clear progression here in this verse. Look at it. Turn to open their eyes so that, progression, they would turn so that they would receive. You see it? Yes, you see it here? There's an order. First, eyes are opened. And let's just look at the actions. There's an opening, there's a turning, there's a receiving. That's the process of conversion. There's an opening, there's a turning, there's a receiving. An opening of the eyes. You know, Paul walked through these things. Paul's on the road to Damascus, just in verse 13. What happens first? His eyes are opened. He sees. Light floods his life, the light of God, and he sees clearly. The point that Jesus is making to Paul is that it sounds like he's saying, Paul, you're going to open their eyes. Look at verse 18. Jesus is speaking to Paul about the Gentiles, and he says, to open their eyes, that's why I'm sending you. Well, it sounds like Paul's going to be the one opening their eyes, but that's not the point of this. Certainly, Paul's going to preach to them. Certainly, Paul's going to share the gospel. But the point here is that the unconverted person cannot open his own eyes. Paul was on the road to hell, and he couldn't open his eyes. The Bible says that he was blinded by the God of this world. In 1 Timothy, Paul calls himself an insolent opponent of Christ. He was bound in darkness. The only hope he had was that God, in his sovereignty, would open his eyes. Paul prays in Ephesians, he says, I pray that you would have the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you might know the hope. He's praying that the Ephesians would have their eyes opened. The best scripture for this is 2 Corinthians 4:6, where Paul says, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has let the light shine in our hearts to reveal the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is what it means to have our eyes opened. Paul looks at Agrippa. He says, you know, Agrippa, the thing that happened to me, I was incapable of grabbing a hold of what I needed. God had to open my eyes first. And to Agrippa, and to maybe some of us, and certainly to most of the culture that we live in, that's offensive. What do you mean I can't grab a hold? Agrippa said, everything I know about the prophets, I got. I studied. I worked at it. I grabbed knowledge. I remembered it. I hid it in my heart. Paul, what are you saying, that all that knowledge is worthless unless my eyes are opened by God? Paul says, exactly. Exactly. Now, we believe this. How many of you have ever prayed for someone to be saved? If you've prayed and said, Lord, save this person, you believe this truth. You believe that it is God who opens eyes. You believe that even someone like Paul, who's an insolent opponent, running down the path in the wrong direction, God can decide to open their eyes. And if you're saved, that happened. God opened your eyes. Jesus talked about this when he spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Jesus said, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, they cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Unless there's a regeneration that takes place inside of somebody by God, They can't turn to God. Opening of the eyes is first. Now, that opening of the eyes is secret. It's a secret act of God by which he imparts spiritual life to us. But what we see is the next thing. What we can identify on earth as human beings is the next thing. Once someone's eyes are opened, they must turn. Another word for turn, repent. They must repent. And they must repent of sin and place faith in Christ. They must drop the boulder, as it were, and run to hug Jesus. They've got to repent of sin. They got to turn from darkness and run towards Christ. That is conversion. Some people say repentance, the word repentance, it means to change mind, but it doesn't just mean to change your mind. Repent is to turn, to change your mind about your sin and turn and place your faith in Christ. Don't believe the lie that repentance is just a changing of the mind. It is that, but it's more than that. And then what happens in this conversion? Now see, before we get to that last little fragment, think about the people in your life who maybe are sort of like Agrippa in the sense that, see, Agrippas of the world, you know what they do? They conform to their culture. They hold the truth in a sense. They assert that the scripture is the word of God and that it's actually God speaking. They assert that. They identify, they acknowledge it. But they don't want it to impose on them. Agrippa's in today's culture, we call them nominal Christians. People who say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but not that crazy type of Christian, you know? You guys ever heard someone say that? Yeah? You heard someone say, oh, I'm a Christian, but not crazy. And you go, what do you mean by crazy? And they're like, oh, you know, go to church on Sundays. And it's like, crazy? That's like level one. What are you talking about? Or I'm not one of those Christians who prays before their meals, you know, especially not at restaurants. That's a big no, you know, I'm not one of those Christians. That's what Agrippa would have said if he was alive in our culture today. Knowing the Bible is true, but refusing to be converted by it. And here is where Agrippianism, here is where the Agrippian society comes to a head. It meets a crossroad. Turn. Agrippa's hearing Paul speak. And he's thinking, Paul, I agreed with you at the start, and I'm hearing your story of conversion. He says, if you would have said to me that I can become a Christian by study, by increasing wealth or by gaining dignity or status in society, I'd agreed with you and I would have done it. But you know what you're telling me, Paul, when you say I have to turn? You're saying, come low, great king. Come low. Stand before God. Kneel before God. Or as Paul did on the road to Damascus, fall face down before God. You know, that's detestable to Agrippas of the world. That's detestable to your good neighbor, the one who's a really good person, and who believes, says, yeah, I believe the Bible is true, but they remain unconverted. Why? They detest coming low. They detest turning. And what happens? Our eyes are opened. We turn. And immediately, we receive forgiveness of sin. Immediately, righteousness imparted to us. Immediately, we have a place in the redeemed family of God. Paul's on the road. The second he turns, he doesn't have to do a thing. He doesn't have to reform his behavior. When he legitimately turns, you know what happens? Immediately, all sin gone. All opposition to Christ and the conviction, gone. All of it. He receives a place in God's family. He says, I am one of those who has been redeemed by Jesus. I am one of those who has a place in those who are sanctified by faith in Christ. I'm one of them. I was an insolent opponent. Now I'm one of them. That is the process of conversion. If you're saved this morning, that's what happened to you. Whether you know it or not, I guess. And if you're unconverted this morning, that is a promise given to you, that if you turn, immediately forgiveness and a place amongst the eternal family of God. Now there's an alternative, and that's where Agrippa stands. And that's indignation, self-righteousness, not thinking I need to come that low. And there's a place for people like that, sadly enough. But that's why Jesus meets Paul. And that's why he meets us on our roads. So verse 19, Paul says, I wasn't disobedient. He's basically saying, hey, I really did turn. I really did repent. And then he comes to his conclusion. I stand here today testifying both to small and great, nothing but what the prophets and Moses said to come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. End of statement, defense made. Agrippa maybe has written it in the book. Paul has said, you know how I got here, Agrippa? Conversion. God opened my eyes. I turned. Immediately I received forgiveness. I didn't accumulate anything. I didn't reach for anything. It was the sovereign act of God, and it was my repenting in faith towards him that transformed me into the person I am now. Offensive to Agrippa's of the world. That the Christ must suffer, that we have sinned, causing Christ, making it necessary for Christ to suffer, offensive to the Agrippas of the world. I don't stoop that low. Look at, now we move into the second part. Look at the response. Paul finishes his statement, and immediately Festus jumps up. Paul, you're insane. You're crazy. And Paul says, I'm not. I'm speaking clearly. But it kind of goes a little bit like this. Have you ever been watching a movie and it's about halfway through the movie and then one of your friends or one of your kids or one of your relatives walks in and they start asking questions about the movie? Well, what's happening right now? If you were here 20 minutes ago, you would understand. Well, who's that? Well, why are they acting like this? Wait, who's that character? That's new. And you look at the person like, are you kidding me right now? You grab the remote, click up the volume as high as you can go so that you can drown out their voice. That's essentially what Paul's doing here. Paul gives his defense, Festus freaks out. You know, Paul's speaking to Agrippa, and there's Festus. You can just picture him boiling on the side of Agrippa. And then Paul says, Christ proclaims light to Jew and Gentile, and Festus goes, that's it, you're crazy, you're crazy. And Paul says, I'm not, and he looks back at Agrippa. He looks back at the one who knows the scripture, but is unconverted by it. Because that's who he wants to grab a hold of, the person who knows the truth but remains unconverted. And he stares at Agrippa, and he says, Agrippa, you believe the prophets? I know you believe the prophets. And Agrippa thinks to himself, and he says, I know what you mean, Paul. You're saying if I believe the prophets, this Christ stuff is true. Agrippa translates that question, do you believe a prophet, to Agrippa, be a Christian. And Agrippa says, in a short time, Paul, would you persuade me? Can you hear his inflection in that? The Agrippian person, the person who knows the scripture but refuses to come low so that they would be converted. Do you hear that in Agrippa? Would you? You down there crying out to defend yourself with these rattling chains around you, you persuade me, a king, with my robe, with my horde of people, with my army, me come down where you are. I don't think so, Paul. Isn't that the statement of so many nominal Christian people in our culture today? How dare you say I need to do this? That I've sinned against God? What an egregious thought. That the Christ must suffer. How abhorrent to me that you would say such a thing. I have my learning. I have my knowledge. I know the gospel. I even believe that it's from God, but don't tell me to come low, Paul. Don't tell me to come there. And then Paul, the cry of an evangelist, the plea of Christ, would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day become as I am, except for these chains. And then a strange ending to the story. The meeting is adjourned. Judge Gavel comes down. The jury of three, Bernice, King Agrippa, and Festus, gather in the back to come to their consensus. And the last statement of the story is from Agrippa, the one Paul's been speaking to. And he says this, "This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." And the story ends. It's less of a cliffhanger and more of Luke, the guy who wrote this book, Acts. Why? Why end the story that way? Why with this question from Agrippa of freedom? And even more than that, did Paul make a mistake? Agrippa's saying, Paul, if Paul didn't run his big mouth and appeal to Caesar, he'd be a free man right now. That's Agrippa's verdict. That's the judge's verdict. But the judge is bound. Paul has gone up the court of appeals, and it's too late now. If Paul had just kept his mouth shut, he'd be a free man. Did Paul screw up? Did Paul mess up? Turn to the left a couple pages, Acts 23. Look at verse 11. Acts 23, verse 11. Paul is in a prison. He had actually just been imprisoned for the charges, or I should say charges, that he's facing now. In verse 11, it says this, "The following night, the Lord stood by him," that is, the Christ stood by Paul, "and said, 'Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" Paul has bound himself to the will of Christ. The mark of true conversion, that Paul, regardless of the chains, regardless of the circumstances, says, "I am bound to the will of God. I am bound to the desire of Christ. I am a slave to this." And Agrippa, oh Agrippa, with all his learning and knowledge, despises that. He can't get past the clanking of the metal. He can't get past the chains that are wrapped around Paul's hands and feet. That Christian conversion that you talk so eloquently about, Paul, you know where that got you? Chained. You're a slave. You're a prisoner. You're not free. The Agrippas of the world say the same thing to us, to all who believe in Christ. Yeah, that's so restricting, that lifestyle. I don't want that. Yeah, I'm a Christian, okay? You know, I call myself a Christian. I am one. I the Bible's the word of God. Yeah. But, I mean, come on. All those restrictions, all those moral restrictions, the mark of a true convert is you've bound yourself to the will of Christ. Because you know that in there, in enslavement to God, is the only place freedom exists. There's no freedom in the lie of the world, in the lie of the agrarian society, in the lie of what the Agrippas of the world say. Throw off all restraints. Decide for yourself. Choose for you. Never let anyone tell you what you can and can't do. Lies. Lies from the enemy. That's bondage. That's not freedom. You know what freedom is? Bondage to God. That's freedom. Paul talks about it this way. Last verse. Let's turn there to the right now. Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 20, 21, and 22. Romans 6, verse 20, 21, and 22. Paul says this, For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. You know the truth, the real truth? The people who are slaves to sin are free from being righteous. They're totally free from the constraints of Christ. Agrippa believes the word of God, slave to sin, and free from the constraints of the will of Christ. He is not attached to Christ. He's free. That's the truth about the condition of unconverted people. The person who is a slave to God is free from sin. Now, the question our culture throws at us left and right is the same question Agrippa, is the same reason Agrippa has resisted the plea of Paul for salvation, for conversion. Agrippa, let your eyes be opened, turn from your sin, receive forgiveness. Agrippa says, I resist that. Why? Look at the restrictions it places on you, Paul. You could have been free. You ever had someone say that to you? Why are you so bound up in this Christian moralism stuff? You could be free. You could be going and doing these things. The person who's a Christian is bound to the will of Christ. And only in that binding, in that enslavement, is there freedom. Our culture asks the wrong question. They say, where is freedom? Paul says, that's not the question. The question is, where is life? That's the question. Everyone is a slave to sin or to God. Everyone is a slave. The question is, within your slavery of choice, what fruit are you getting? The question is, when you choose slavery to sin, are you getting life or death? Death. We find ourselves living the back and forth tug of Paul and Agrippa, especially in our society. People who know the scriptures, maybe even us, maybe we're that person who know the scriptures but remain unconverted by them. We don't want to go low, for one. We don't like the chains that we see on the Christians. But we have a choice. Isn't that crazy? We have a choice who we can be a slave to. We are born slave to sin. But because the truth is that the Christ had to suffer, because Jesus had to suffer, he made a way for us to choose to be slaves to God. We are born enslaved to sin, which means we are bound for death, eternal suffering. We're bound for it. But Christ, because he had to suffer for our sin, made a way for us to choose. Agrippa can choose. Because Christ died, because Christ said, I'm going to make a way for you to be a slave to God and bear fruit leading to life everlasting. We sang the lyric earlier, light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. The work that Christ does is to interrupt insolent opponents to himself. Open their eyes to beauty they could never imagine, so that they might turn, bind themselves to Christ, and find life everlasting.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.